Pastor Bryce here, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. As all of you know, I'm the student ministries pastor here at Brookside, and over the last 10 years of working with teens, one thing that I've observed that teens really do love, and in particular, teen boys really love, is video games. And I know it sounds silly, but one of the draws of video games is all the in-game rewards that you can earn. In other words, when you play a video game, you don't really get a reward in real life. It's not like you get a trophy or something in the mail, but rather they earn in-game rewards that have absolutely no real-life value. And for various reasons, teens can find themselves addicted to these games, seeking after these in-game rewards. Well, some of us might observe this behavior and be like, man, that seems like a huge waste of time. That seems really silly to pour a bunch of time and effort so that you can get rewarded with something that has no real life value. But you know what? If we were to take a step back and really evaluate things that we participate in, we might see that we don't really behave any differently. We actually behave in exactly the same way, just we don't use video games as adults. Instead, we use social media. Social media really uses the same principles. When you post something on social media, you get rewarded for that. And the reward doesn't come in the mail. It's not like you get a trophy because you got the most likes or you got the most reactions, but you do get in-game, as it were, rewards. And those rewards come in the form of likes, comments, and reactions. And so when you post something on social media, often you'll go back to that post to see what kind of traction, what kind of reactions it's getting. And it's these in-game rewards that social media uses to get us addicted to the platform. And so over the last 12 years, people have really been playing around with what kind of information gets the most traction. And just like the mainstream media, many of us have figured out that the more sensational something is, the larger of a reaction it will get. And unfortunately, sometimes that also means that the more destructive our communication is on social media, the larger of a reaction it will get. And if you were to turn on your social media today and start scrolling through your feed, doubtless you would find a lot of venomous words. And I don't think that people post mean and venomous things on purpose to hurt other people, but sometimes when we sit on our smartphones or we sit at our keyboards, we forget that at the other side of our social media page are real people that we can really hurt. And especially over the last couple months, many of us have been real quick to go to our social media platform to make sure that everyone knows how much we disagree with the powers that be. But may we also be reminded of Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. And he writes, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification." You know, that word corrupt is interesting. It only appears 8 times in the New Testament. It appears once here, and it's translated as the word corrupt, and it appears 7 other times in the Gospels. 6 of those times, it's Jesus referring to a good tree that bears good fruit, and good trees bear good fruit while bad trees bear bad fruit. And the point of Jesus in those passages is pretty obvious. Jesus is using a tree as an analogy of our lives. Just like good trees produce good fruit and bad trees produce bad fruit, so do good hearts produce good fruit, and evil hearts produce bad fruit. And so this word corrupt is used in this passage to identify us with a lifestyle. If we speak with corrupt words, we identify with a corrupt heart. And we would do well to remember that when we engage in our social media platforms. Rather, when we go to our social media platforms, we ought to be focused on communicating that which is good for necessary edification, for building other people up, that it may impart grace to the hearers, that it would not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. But rather, when we communicate, we should let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I don't know about you, but that's something that has really captured my heart in the last couple weeks. As I've scrolled through social media and I've seen the world ablaze with corrupt tongues, I've been challenged that I would not participate in the corrupt communication that we are so easily drawn to and that so easily gets us the attention that we crave. But rather that when I speak, it would be that which is good for the hearers, that it imparts grace and doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit. That I would lay aside my bitterness and my wrath and my anger and my clamor, but I would speak in ways that are kind and tender-hearted, that I would be forgiving to others. Father, I feel the need to come before you today because I know that I need help in this area. I know that I am so tempted to voice my opinion, and Father, sometimes it can be a venomous opinion. But Father, that instead I would be focused on not serving myself with my tongue, but serving you. And Father, I believe that that's the heartbeat of every single person listening right now. Father, give us the grace to be gracious, to not speak with corrupt tongues, but to seek the benefit of others.